Thanks very much for the invitation to talk down here. Thanks to Nicole and Daniel. And without Nicole and people like her on Manus Island, and of course the detainees themselves, we really would be in the dark about what happened on Manus Island, because we know what Scott Morrison wanted to say, that people were outside the detention centre, and that outside the detention centre he couldn't guarantee their safety, even though we know now that people were inside the detention centre when the protests happened, and people were attacked on the 17th of February. Scott Morrison still found ways to actually blame the detainees themselves for what for the bloody attacks that actually took place, both on the 16th and on the 17th. It's difficult to know where to start with these things, or how much to go over. But one thing I certainly want to debunk, and that is the idea that anything that we've heard in the Cornell inquiry has got anything to do with the truth about what happened on Manus Island. Cornell, as the true public servant, and I stress servant in this particular case, has done what his masters actually want him to do, to produce a review of what happened on the 16th and 17th of February, which suits the Immigration Department. It suits G4S. In fact, he repeats pretty much G4S's version, which is simply, again, just a bit of a whitewash to try and exonerate G4S for any particular responsibility of what actually took place. I could go through the Cornell inquiry. I'm not going to try and go through everything about it, but I think people should be very confident to know that it simply doesn't measure up. It's riddled with its own contradictions. But the thing which stands out starkest is that is the simple the acceptance of the G4S version of events, what it says about the 17th, when Reza Barati was attacked, when the Mike compound, others in Foxtrot were attacked, when Reza Barati was killed and two people blinded. The G4S version or Cornell version says that there was actually a riot, taking place inside Mike compound and in Foxtrot, and actually they've mentioned other compounds as well, and that what was necessary was for this to be suppressed, and in the process of suppressing it, they lost control, and that's when the PNG police and other local staff actually attacked the people in Mike compound. Now that simply is not the case, but Cornell accepts that, even though the asylum seekers to a person say that there was no protest inside Mike compound when that attack took place. Cornell doesn't even think that's a fact worth commenting on. Dismisses that and accepts G4S's version, version of events. So even though the people actually experienced, and I thought one of the most telling things about the recent Senate inquiry was Steve Kilburn, who was on Manus Island on that night, actually, unlike the version that's given in the Four Corners, because I also want to stress the Four Corners really was just a dressed up version of the G4S. It had really little to do, I think, with the reality of what happened on the night. It dressed up the G4S version of events as if it was reality. It wasn't. But Steve Kilburn in the Senate was very explicit, and that is before the lights were switched out, on Mike compound on the 17th, that there was no riot, there was no protest. So the excuses which Cornell puts forward and G4S put forward simply don't hold up. What we saw on the 17th really was a bloody retribution by PNG police and G4S local G4S staff and some handful of expats. The thing I wanted to just go back a little bit though, because I don't think we can understand what took place on that night just over the detention centre. I mean, the fact is that there are long-standing grievances on Manus Island about the base in itself. The base was taken off Manus Island by the Allied forces, if you like, in the Second World War. The Manus Islanders haven't forgotten that. They have yearly protests about the fact that base was taken from their land, and there wasn't any compensation, and they don't look like they're going to get it back anytime soon. But I think the other thing important to understand is that the creation of the detention centre has created a social, economic and environmental abomination for the people who are in Manus Island, and has created all kinds of divisions which run through that society, and for them the very fact of the detention centre is something which they can point to, which has really wrecked their social amenity. If you want to understand, and this is another thing which I think is unforgivable about the Cornell Inquiry, that they want to suggest that somehow or other it was the racism of asylum seekers and racial taunts, you know, to people outside the detention centre, which somehow or other precipitated, you know, those violent events. But if you want to understand the racism, you need to understand the creation of the detention centre in the first place and the picture that's created outside. I mean, as Nicole, you know, sort of recounted here and sort of said very clearly in the Senate inquiry, you know, it's the people who run the detention centre that refer to the PNG locals as cannibals. It's the people who run the detention centre that say it's not safe. Don't walk outside the detention centre alone. That it is a violent place. That picture of PNG society actually comes from the people who are responsible for running the detention centre itself. Cornell says that the PNG police, the G4S, don't have any authority to actually do searches, and yet shakedowns inside the detention centre are routine. Who does those shakedowns? The local G4S staff, supervised by expats, supervised sometimes by the Salvation Army. They try to find some kind of excuses around it. But who does the dirty business inside doing the shakedowns inside the detention centre? It is black local PNG, you know, staff by and large. You want to understand where those racial tensions come from? They don't come from the detainees, and they don't come from outside. They came from a management which quite ruthlessly uses those kinds of things to monitor and to run the detention centre. The stories are legion. I spoke to one black immigration translator, and she was absolutely horrified. So you go into the mess at Manus Island, and it is a clear demarcation: black on the one side, white on the other. And she was, you know, a black translator. She got up from the management side, the white side of the tent, went over and sat, you know, on the black G4S side of things, and nobody even noticed, you know, that she had made the point about the kind of racial divisions which were so obvious and in your face. As a black person, she said, "I know racism when I see it. Right? I felt the racism." He said, "And you look at Manus Island, and the racism is simply, you know, endemic inside the detention centre. I think there's so many other ways. The idea that there was no agreement between G4S and the local police in terms of what to do, there was no agreement between the G4S and the local police, I think it's just really been blown out of the water. The revelations that came from the ABC subsequent, and the tape of conversations between the G4S management, where it said very clearly that there were arrangements with the local police, you know, about what was to happen, and that they would have, you know, control in a situation where they, you know, gave the okay, which is exactly what took place. So I think there's I think very, very clear, you know, that there was no riot, what we actually saw was a protest that was precipitated by the very conditions of the detention centre itself. And yet, the G4S, the Cornell Inquiry, Morrison, of course, is determined to do everything he can to whitewash and to excuse, you know, the detention centre, excuse the G4S management, or of course anything at all to do with the Australian Government Immigration Department's actual responsibility, you know, for running that detention centre. So I think the other thing I think about the experience of Reza Barati is that I do think it's something of a turning point. I mean, for many people, the killing of Reza Barati, I think doesn't mean that people necessarily, you know, sort of meant with, they were, you know, on our side about the boats. But I think for a lot of people, it was like, This is simply inexplicable. This has gone just way, way too far, that someone could die in a detention centre, could be murdered in a detention centre, you know, by the Immigration Department, who would take absolutely no responsibility. And as Daniel pointed out, you know, when it suits Morrison, suits the Immigration Department, of course it's run by the PNG, and PNG is a sovereign country and can, you know, it's got total responsibility and duty to talk to the PNG government about that. Now we know that's a fiction. It becomes even more graphic when you understand that the Australian government actually provided the wherewithal to the PNG government to challenge the National Court inquiry into what happened on Manus Island. In terms of the day-to-day running, it's very clear. It's got nothing to do with PNG, and everything to do with the Immigration Department about actually who pulls those strings. And I think Reza Barati is one of those times, in terms of the campaign, which people begin to see some of the reality behind the detention centre. I mean, people, I think, are far more open to the argument about what is happening inside the detention centre, what Operation Sovereign Borders actually represents, and therefore I'm much more open to the arguments that actually that the campaign has been saying. I think you look at the response that we've seen around the country, the vigils that happened about Reza Barati, tens of thousands of people actually involved in those vigils, beginning to sympathise with what happened and beginning to open their eyes about what's happening with the detention centres and the policy in Australia. I think since then we've seen the Palm Sunday rallies, we've seen the subsequent rallies around World Refugee Day, and we had a very successful rally in Melbourne. We had a very good march on Scott Morrison's in Sydney and Canberra on Saturday night. There were 1,300 people at a public meeting in Canberra that carried a resolution, that's very, very clearly against offshore processing, against mandatory detention, calling for an end of the of offshore processing. And I think in that respect, we've got a particular responsibility. It's often we say we need to redouble our efforts, and I know people are working very, very hard, and it's one thing to actually say redouble our efforts, but I think we need to have some kind of confidence that the actual cracks in their system, the Reza Barati is one of those things, but as Daniel's also gone over, in terms of their own policy, they've really got no way of resettling people in Papua New Guinea. Nauru has said that they will not resettle people in Nauru. They're a long way from having any kind of agreement with Cambodia in terms of sending people there. Their whole policy is actually riven with those cracks, which they desperately try to cover up with the arrogance about that we're not going to say anything, we're not going to talk about on-water matters, all those kinds of things. But I think the reality is obvious for us to see. I think I'll finish for this, and like others, I'm more than happy to take questions. But I think we have a particularly important role to play at the moment. I mean, the coalition government is under enormous pressure. You look at what's happening with the budget, they've alienated almost every section of society that you can imagine. They're declining in the polls, and the one thing that they hang on to is we stop the boats. We're going to stop the boats. We mightn't do anything else. We might be treating pensioners we mightn't be quite able to treat pensioners the way we treat refugees yet, but we're working on that. But the question of stopping the boats is what they resort to over and over again. So it was no accident. But the Liberal Party conference, what did Tony Abbott actually say? On the very day that they were in the process of intercepting the Tamil boat and probably turning it back to Sri Lanka, they said it's 6 months. 6 months and not a boat has come here. That's what they want to brag about, and that's what they want to boast about. Our job, I think, in terms of the campaign, I think we have done an enormous thing so far in terms of removing that scapegoat and their ability to play the refugee race card. And I think it becomes even more important now when they're under so much pressure over a range of other things that the campaign does measure up and to meet that challenge. We're not going to allow them to use that race card. We're not going to allow them to scapegoat refugees. And I think if we take some confidence out of what we've managed to achieve so far, understand the cracks and the contradictions that are in the system, then I think there's a real possibility of closing Manus Island, closing Nauru, and getting rid of offshore processing and getting rid of the Abbott and Morrison government.